DanielBritt.com.
Another week, another show, another highlight of one of your favorites. I'm Daniel Britt. Every week we dedicate an hour to learning more about a group or more about an artist. And this week we've got one of the top male soloists in gospel music with us. His name is Ivan Parker. Ivan, welcome.
Hey, Daniel. How are you, buddy?
Good. You've been called the Ivanizer. You've been called by Linda Randall Ivy. You've got all the names, right? But you just said that. It's kind of like Cher. You got Ivan. Everybody knows who Ivan is.
You know what? I don't care. As long as they call.
That's right.
It really doesn't matter.
And Mr. History Maker, we've just learned that you have become, what are they saying, the first solo act for the main stage at the Quartet Convention?
Yeah, that was kind of one that just sort of fell out of the sky. But really, you know, I didn't plan on it. I really didn't expect it. And then they just called one day and said, hey, guess what? We want to invite you to the Friday night concert at convention. You know, they decided they want to do something a little bit different. And I said, well, you're doing something a lot different by doing this. And, hey, it's an honor. I'm excited about it because, really, in essence, I've not performed on the main stage in the evening since I was with Gold City. So this is going to be fun.
Yeah. Well, we'll look forward to it. And a lot of people know the Quartet Convention, especially the diehard fans. They know all about NQC, the National Quartet Convention in Louisville, Kentucky. For those who don't know, it is what the name has always stood for, Quartet Convention, and that's
right.
Kind of been its deal. And now, as gospel music is growing, as American gospel music is developing, they're trying to do some different things, I think.
Yeah, and you know what? And I respect them for that because, you know, there is so much gospel out there. You know, and watching the Gaither shows, you know, he has such a mix of a little of everything. So you go to a Gaither concert, there's at least one thing you're going to like about the evening,
that's
you
right.
know. And it's kind of the same way I think convention is kind of steering that direction as well. They kind of want to salt and pepper it a little bit.
Well, let's listen to Ivan Parker now on Daniel Britt and Friends. What's your latest album?
That was then, this is now. Interesting way that whole concept came about.
The title of the album?
Yeah. It was kind of an interest. Well, really, the whole setup of the project, I mean, the way that it actually came from that song. Because the way it worked was a lot of times, you know, when we get these demos and we get these songs that are being pitched to us, you know, we try to think of some kind of a theme that we can use for each CD. And so I was in the process of, and a lot of times a CD will take its own theme without even trying, you know. And whenever I got this song, it came from Crossroads Music. I sat there and I listened to it and I went, oh, what a neat concept, because I have so many people that every night they come up and ask for various songs, like It Is Well With My Soul. A lot of people come up and ask for the song Thank You that Ray Bolts wrote years ago. And I can't perform any of these because, number one, I don't have the tracks for them, and number two, I don't have them recorded on anything. And so I thought, you know, this is a nice touch to be able to take this title song, make the CD the title, and do half of the CD new material, never been sang before, never been recorded, and then take the other half and do songs that people have asked for.
Yeah.
And so that's how this whole project even came into existence, was that song. And so that was kind of cool, I thought.
Do you ever get criticized because, I mean, and I'm one of those people who, when you find a great song, you want the original artist.
Right.
Do you ever get criticized for redoing something and it's not the same way, and so they can't put their finger on it, but they say, Ivan, stick to the original stuff or something.
You know what? Honestly, I have never had anyone that has even said that.
Wow.
And
that's cool.
Maybe they're the ones that aren't talking.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. But the majority of the people that I talk to, radio DJs, all these fans out here that, you know, they'll come to a Gaither concert or a solo concert I do, you know, and they automatically request that song because they're familiar with it. And that's a lot of the reason why it is so accepted is because it gives them something they can attach to that, you know, they've heard, they've learned the words, it's one of their favorite songs, and they just want to hear it.
Yeah.
You know, and I've had more people thank me for it than anything else.
Well, like labels or hate labels, we got to realize we're in a world of, you know, there are a lot of labels that are put on things. And so the benefit that I see is that you've got a song that you like that may not be a quote-unquote Southern Gospel song. But take Southern Gospel Radio, for instance. They're kind of a lot of times put into a box where You're right. they can only play a certain style of music. But that's such a great song that this artist did. Wish we could play it on Southern Gospel Radio.
Exactly.
Well, maybe Ivan Parker's our conduit.
Well, see, it's funny you bring this up. Because actually that was whenever I recorded My Redeemer Lives.
Right.
For example, the very first time I heard this, my secretary had me go to her car. She said, "You have got to hear this song." And I listened to it, and honestly, Daniel, I sat there and wept. Tears ran down my face because of this song. And I thought, you know what? There's a lot of Southern gospel people that don't listen to contemporary. They don't listen to these other styles of music. They're kind of in this certain vein, and that's what they listen to. These songs deserve to be heard.
Yeah.
Why can't we share this with the whole spectrum of the industry? Let everybody get to hear and get to enjoy these songs, just like the Midnight Cry.
Right.
You know, whenever I originally recorded that one with Gold City, it crossed the boundaries. You know, it went into contemporary. Why can't we reach over and pull some of theirs to mm-hmm. us? And so, you know, it makes a lot of people happy, and let's face it, when the people are happy, we're happy.
We're doing a spotlight on Ivan Parker on Daniel Britt and Friends, and we're getting to know him better, find out what's going on today in his life. But as is our practice, we always have to go back sort of to the beginning. And was the Singing Americans, was that your first paying gig?
Yeah, you really like going back in history here, don't you?
Yeah.
That was actually the very first full-time situation that I experienced, and it was such an incredible thing that happened. Ed Hill sang baritone, which, you know, he dated back to the 50s, So I remember my family, my mom, dad used to buy the Prophets records. So Ed was on this pedestal with me.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was an interesting thing how all of this happened. And Danny Funderburk, before Cathedrals or anybody, you know, here we are. You know, singing just a bunch of kids that just loved gospel music. And, of course, Michael English, I took his place with the Singing Americans. He had left and gone with the Happy Goodmans.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was singing with the Goodmans at that point. And so that was my first experience. I was with them, I guess, probably 13 months, roughly. Was actually going to come off the road and take a job and, you know, and enjoy I guess normal people's lives. I was going to be a part of that. And this little local group from down in Dahlonega, Georgia, a little local group called Gold City called and said, "We want you to join up." And you know, I to this day, you know, it had to be God in the working, because nobody in their right mind, you know, would move to Dahlonega, Georgia in the middle of nowhere and sing with a group that really didn't have any awards or accolades that they could speak of. So, you know, for me to move my family to this place do this, what a chance, you know. And so God knew exactly what was going on. And so I just followed his leading. And, wow, it was just a straight spiral, you know, right through the sky.
Back to the Singing Americans, I think that group may not get the credit like some of the others, like the Dixie Melody Boys. Ed O'Neill's been credited for being such a teacher in gospel music,
right.
And Bill Gaither with the vocal band, and you think of the Cathedrals. A lot of groups like that, a lot of the well-known artists today have passed through the halls of those schools, and Singing Americans has to be one of those because of those names you just mentioned there.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
I was talking to Charlie Burke one day. Actually, I'd been left the Singing Americans 4 or 5 years, and we were just having a conversation about so many artists that were just coming through and, you know, and then moving on up a little higher mm-hmm. from there, and he said, "I just realized where I'm at." He said, "I'm a farm team," you know, for everybody else.
Yeah, yeah.
And but there has been a lot of great talent that has come through the doors of the Singing Americans.
Let's listen to some music now on Daniel Britt and Friends with my guest today, Ivan Parker. This is Daniel Britt and Friends. Ivan Parker is my guest, and we're talking about his career in music, not only what's going on today, but we're going back a few years. We talked about the Singing Americans, the first major group that you were with, and then you mentioned Gold City out of Dahlonega. Yeah. Was that not the most classic version of the group? I mean, you and Brian Free and Mike Lefevre, I mean, the Midnight Cry group, to me, in my mind, that just Taco on piano.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it just it goes back, and that's, I mean, they've had great groups since then, don't get me wrong. I think of Jay Perrick and the version.
But none of them just as good as we were.
That's right. I mean, it's just, or as memorable, right?
You know, but yeah, you're right about that. You know, whenever it was Brian Free and myself and Mike Lefevre and Tim Riley, when we were together, you know, there was just a magic that I think everybody looks at when they look for, you know, something special in a quartet. You know, they look for a magic that I guess you'd call it the it factor, you know, that you hear a lot. And it was just one of those magic groups that, you know, to really get to the nuts and bolts, there's no way you could put together a group like that. It would have had to have been God that put that together, because it was absolutely the most incredible experience I've ever had.
What would be your favorite Gold City song that you sang with the group? I mean, would it be one of the big ones?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, it would, I think everybody's probably, you know, oh, I know what he's going to say. Midnight Cry.
It's your signature.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I will have to say it would be the Midnight Cry forever and ever, because this was a message that was even great then. And I had a little lady here a couple years ago. One of my solo concerts said, Ivan, how long are you going to keep singing that song? And my first reaction was, I guess until the event takes place.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And but it, what a song.
Did you all know Greg Day at the time? I mean,
yeah, just to give you a little history on Midnight Cry, we'd sang down in South Georgia a few times. Greg and Chuck Day, the brothers, They actually had a group that, and I can't even remember the name of their group now, but more or less just a regional quartet. And we were doing a few concerts with them, and Greg finally got the nerve up to come up to me one night, and he says, Ivan, I'm a songwriter, and I'd love for you to listen to some of my songs. Okay, so he brings me a cassette tape of the group. And, it was a group called The Accords. Oh, that was the name of their group.
Sponsored by Honda.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. And so he handed me this cassette tape, and he had checked off various songs that he had written on that cassette. I took it home. First opportunity I had, I listened to the cassette. And toward the end of the cassette, there was a song on it called The Midnight Cry, and it was not checked, but I was still curious. You know, when just let the cassette play. I heard the song, and it wowed me. And I called Greg, and I said, tell me about The Midnight Cry. And he says, well, he said, I wrote that. And he said, you like it? And I said, well, absolutely. I love the song. I'm very interested. Why did you not pitch it? And he said, well, I just didn't think you'd be interested. And I said, oh, yeah. I've got to play this for the guys. Eldridge Fox, that was with the Kingsmen, was actually producing all of our records at that time. And whenever I played the song, we played through everything. I said, I got one more song. I want you guys to listen. We were sitting around on the bus. And so I played this one song, and Eldridge Fox reached over on the lyric sheet and wrote number one on the lyric sheet. I wished I had that lyric sheet today. And he said, that song is going to be the biggest song in gospel music that you've ever imagined. And it was. 10 years after the release date, they actually titled it Song of the Decade.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's got a lot of rich history. And it was interesting how it just about slipped through the fingertips almost.
In case you've been living under a rock and you've never heard it, I want to introduce the song to you. Everybody else, you'll love reliving these classic sounds of Gold City. Let's listen. This is Daniel Britton, friends, with my guest today, Ivan Parker. And we've talked so far about the Singing Americans. We've talked about Gold City. And that was mainly through the 80s, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
How has the music scene, as far as through your eyes, how has it changed since the 80s?
Well, the hair has changed.
Yeah. Clothing and fashion.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. There's a lot of those things that have changed. You know, the God that we sing about, that is the one thing that hasn't changed. And he's the God in the songs today that he was then. And, that is one great thing that we can hold on to. I think the industry has grown from what it was, back in the 80s. You have a lot more groups out there now, that are trying to make a go of it. And it has grown, and the boundaries have just been stretched, so very much. And now that we've got internets, we've got websites, this has changed the media.
Sure.
Media part of what we do to a great degree. And, we're still traveling in buses and using sound equipment. So that part hasn't changed yet. But, you know, it's wonderful to see young people that are still loving the music enough to come out and to perform this music. And, you know, because as we go along, you know, you've got the JKS and you've got the Vestal Goodmans. You've got all these different ones that are passing the torch on. You know, someday we're going to have to pass this torch on. So it's great to see the young people coming forward.
Tell me about your family, because you've got a son, right?
I've got two children.
Two children, okay.
Yeah.
Have they expressed interest in the business? They travel with you?
Actually, the family does not travel with me. My oldest son, Ryan, he traveled with me on the road for about a year and a half. And that was in between high school and college. He couldn't decide what he wanted to do. And I said, well, it's time for you to go to the school of dad.
Yeah.
And we'll see if we can't teach you a few things. And, so he traveled with me for a little while. And then of course, you know, after the school of dad, he decided, you know, he needed a degree. And, so he married a young lady, from San Antonio, Texas, which her dad happens to be John Hagee.
Oh,
and
okay.
So they live, work in the church there in San Antonio, and they gave us a beautiful little girl, Olivia Jordan, back last May, and she is just a beautiful, beautiful baby. And my youngest son, Joshua, is actually finishing up his freshman year at Cumberland University in Lebanon, Tennessee, and he has got the music bug. It is in him from head to toe. He's actually minoring in music and loving every minute of it. And this is what he wants to do. He wants to actually be in the music industry, be a performer, be a singer. So, I'm really anxious that, that one day I can pass the torch to him and he can continue what dad's doing.
And your wife?
What a beautiful lady. I tell you what, she is something else. We have been married for 27 years. And, we got married in the second grade is what I tell everybody. But she's a great gal that, we grew up pretty close together. So we were more or less childhood sweethearts.
Wow.
And, so we have grown up together, and she actually runs the business part of what we do in Parker Music Group, which there's a booking agency attached to that. And so she runs the business part. And, so she's a smart lady. You know, God saw my weaknesses and definitely put somebody strong in there for me.
Well, even though you don't have a family group or a mixed quartet on the road, it still is a family thing for you, even though it's a solo ministry of Ivan Parker. You've got the other side, too. And
that's right.
And it's cool to see the family involved. Tell me about, since we are doing a historical timeline, tell me about Ivan Parker, third member of the Bill Gaither Trio.
Wow.
I see that listed as a credit, and I don't know a lot about it. I remember seeing you sing with Bill and Gloria on some of the videos, and it be labeled as the trio.
And it really didn't last very long, because that was sort of at the point to where that was really sort of before the homecoming tour was really cranking up.
Right.
And Bill was wanting to actually take the trio, do a few choice dates, you know, that kind of thing, and do some of the videos, that type thing. And then Gloria decided she wanted to start really pursuing the, not necessarily the singing part, but she wanted to pursue more of the speaking engagements. And so it was kind of a short-lived thing, but hey, it was fun while it lasted.
Sure. Did you ever record any albums?
We never did. We never did. Only what we did was on the homecoming videos.
Well, I imagine at that time the vocal band had really made a name for itself. And then the homecoming, I mean, that was just a runaway train. It was just there. I mean, you just kind of look at it and say, well, that's... if Bill didn't plan it, then, you know, then it was just God because of how successful it's been. When Gloria's here, does he ever say, let's go do an old trio song and bring you up to sing?
Not really.
He should.
Well, yeah.
I'll tell him.
It would be fun.
He always listens to me.
You know, because it's always fun. And really, to be honest with you, it is a it's an incredible feeling to have on each side of you two of such.
I bet.
Great icons of gospel music, and you know, it's really, you feel real small at that time, you know, to be standing there, but you know, Bill has just gone such different directions, and whenever he starts his planning mode, you know, he sort of goes with whatever is fresh on his mind today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so Gloria doesn't travel with us very much on the tour dates because she's pretty busy doing her speaking engagements.
So when did you go solo? Was it after Gold City?
Yeah.
Sort of in between the trio deal and up until today?
Yeah, and really the trio thing didn't start until after after I had gone solo because whenever I was – trying to decide, you know, was the solo career really what I wanted? You know, I was really kind of, you know, bucking God on this. I, you know, because I really, you know, soloist had not really made it or really made a place for themselves in Southern gospel music. And so this was really uncharted territory. And so God just kept opening doors, and I'm like, Lord, you know, are you sure? You know, I'm not sure that I'm ready for this, and he kept saying, yes, you are.
Yeah.
And so the second week of January, I did my first solo concert and actually was praying, you know, Lord, let me do this first concert somewhere out in the middle of nowhere, you know, where we won't have anybody there. You know, and then I can sort of fall on my face by myself, you know. And so that very first concert was in Loosedale, Mississippi, and it was out in the middle of nowhere, you know. So he granted that, but we had like 500 people at that first solo concert. And I'm like, no, this is not what I had in mind. And so, you know, and that was long about the time that, that Bill was starting, a new record label called Chapel Records. And so I signed on with the new record company. Bill was wanting to do a few concerts here and there, which a lot of people don't realize, you know, some of the first homecoming concerts were, it was like the vocal band. It was like Howard and Vestal, Jake, you know, and myself and the Cathedrals.
Yeah.
And that was what it was.
Right. Right.
You know, we would take the chairs and sort of in a little half moon on stage. That was the homecoming concert. And so that's where this sort of really started taking a footing and taking off. And so that's really what launched the solo career. And of course the videos added to that. Didn't hurt anything.
Yeah. Yeah. And through the years with the homecoming tour, we've seen groups come and go. But you've always been there. I don't know what your secret is, but you've always been a part of this deal. And that's cool. I mean, from the get-go, obviously, and through to today, you've through changes and through, like I said, different artist lineups, Ivan Parker has always made it to the stage on the homecoming shows. And that's been cool because you get to do that and be with a community of artists.
Right.
What maybe you would miss from a quartet. But then you get to go to your solo stuff, too, and you get to sort of call the shots and run the show how you feel or how the Holy Spirit works through.
Absolutely. So. Absolutely. See, that's why I say, you know, that I am so blessed because through the years of singing gospel music, I have experienced a little of everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have had a taste of it all.
Sure.
And everything from singing with my family you know, up until the Singing Americans, then had the quartet experience, did the solo thing. I've been able to fill in with the Gaither Vocal Band. If somebody was missing a date, mm-hmm. I was sort of the stand-in there.
Right.
You know, and then doing the solo career. You know, it's just been such a great experience to been able to have a feel for all of it. And doing the solo concerts and doing the Gaither concerts, it gives me a great balance every week that I can do both in 1 week's time.
We're talking to Ivan Parker. I always want to say Ivan Parker of, but it's Ivan Parker. It's solo, and you find him at ivanparker.com, right?
That's right.
And we can learn more about you there and hear the music here every week. And, in fact, let's hear more of it right now on Daniel Britt and Friends. Ivan Parker's my guest on this edition of Daniel Britt and Friends. And let's talk about the God stuff for a little while. I mean, this is gospel music, after all. I take it because musicians, and especially you being solo, you're in almost a different kind of church every time you sing. I'm sure that you've come to a point to realize that, listen, we all can't be right about everything, all these outside, you know, Christ and Him crucified, that's the main deal.
That's right.
But outside of that, we have some, you know, different beliefs. Do you mind telling us what kind of denominational background you came from, or as some people put it, denominational baggage?
Really run with that one. Actually, I grew up Pentecostal.
Really?
My dad, he pastored a little Pentecostal church there in North Carolina, so I grew up a PK all my life. We were in church every time the doors were open. We were there. And
sometimes when they weren't.
Yeah. And so I grew up in a Pentecostal realm pretty much all of my life, but I realized that the older I got and the more that I sang in every denomination represented out here in the Christian world, I realized that, you know, it really doesn't matter what is over the door, but what really makes the true experience with God is just knowing Him in His realness and knowing Him in His love. And, you know, when you believe that Christ went to the cross and He gave His life and He shed His blood, and that that same blood can wash away all of your sins and you can be saved and have an eternal life in heaven, that is the true experience of God. Mm-hmm. All the rest of it is just extras. And but that is the nuts and bolts of what I believe. And so, I tell this story of Christ, you know, to where it is universal mm-hmm. with every denomination, whether it be Methodist, Presbyterian. I've sang in Catholic churches. And, you know, so it's just a great, great thing to be able to share this Jesus the way that we believe Jesus really is, and that's to all mankind.
I've heard Bill even say that whoever said music was unifying was wrong, because you try to find a radio station when you're going on family vacation and nobody can agree. But at the same time, I think there is something to be said about music, that it can break down some barriers.
It can.
There's a pro and con to everything. There's a good and bad to everything, I would imagine. And with gospel music, you really can break down the barriers and get in, like as you said, I mean, from Catholic to Methodist or Presbyterian and Baptist and Assemblies of God, everywhere in between.
Yeah.
Ivan, tell me again about your website and what all goes on there.
Well, we're very excited about the website. It's ivanparker.com, and we would invite everybody to come visit, because we try to keep new and fresh things going every week, to where you can stay up to date as far as where we're going to be appearing. Mm-hmm. You'll even be able to see the Gaither scheduling on
right
the website
there.
Because I make sure that you understand if it's a Gaither concert or if it's just a solo concert. Mm-hmm. I want you to know that. And you know, we've got a big red bus that we travel in. We call her Big Red.
Uh-huh.
And
uh-huh.
So you'll be able to keep up with Big Red anywhere she's at. And we even have like road stories of different people we meet, picture gallery that you can, you know, there's a lot of people out there that will just come by and say, hey, you know, can I get this picture with you? They send it in. Hey, we'll even put that on there.
Sure.
You know, just kind of including all God's children.
Yeah.
So we, and plus everything that's going on in the family, we try to make a communication level to where people can see the real Ivan, see Ivan at home, see Ivan in the office, And just keep up with everything that's going on in our family, our organization, because we want you to know us and know our hearts and know who we are.
If you were having a meeting with someone and you needed to introduce yourself to them, your music to them, and you could only pick one song and it had to be off your latest project, which song would it be?
Wow.
And then we'll play it.
Okay. You know, there's a lot of songs off of this CD that really are my favorites, because I included some new songs as well as went back in time and even grabbed some of the old ones that people were familiar with. I want to go back to the song "Thank You" that Ray Bolts wrote several years ago, because this is really who I am. Because I realize that every night that I perform, that I'm on stage, if it's 500 people, if it's 50 people, or if it's 20,000 people, there are those that are sitting there with needs in their lives and people that are just needing somebody to reach out and to help them through the day. There's no way that we could keep track of all of this. No way that we could, you know, actually take a testimony from everybody. But I believe that whenever we get to heaven, that's going to be part of our reward, is whenever we look out across the multitude of people standing there. And if God were to say, if you're here because of a song of Ivan Parker, raise your hand. I think it's just going to be a sea of people as far as you could see. You know, and I think it would be overwhelming if we saw that number now. But see, when we get to heaven, God's going to allow us to be able to see the fruits of our labor. And so the song "Thank You," you know, it takes me to heaven. And it just takes me to this wonderful day that we're going to be able to experience this.
Here's Ivan Parker, and you're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. I'm Daniel Britt, and by the way, I want to remind you, you can go to our website at danielbritt.com to download today's extended interview, even some things that didn't make it into the show. You can go and listen to it online and do that after you hear the program at danielbritt.com. Ivan, thanks so much for spending time with us. It's been a lot of fun, and ivanparker.com has all the details of your tour schedule and the latest project and even the latest project that you'll be working on, I guess.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. And even the things that we have already released over the years, you can go there and get a whole collection.
Let's do it again soon sometime.
Hey, man, it'd be my honor. I'd be privileged.